The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency is the best in Memphis. Very simple. They're going to help you make the most money for your home. They're going to help you price it accurately, which is very important. But they're going to work with you. They're going to be able to tell you, okay, hey, this is what we need to do. This is what we need to work on. This is what we need to invest in. You know, assessing what your home is really worth is the key in today's market. And they do it better than anybody. But you got to reach out. SoToLiveLoveMemphis.com.
Certainly did it better than me. Jennifer Carstensen came right in, cleaned up my mess. Because I thought, I told her, well, I got to fix this. I got to spend thousands on this. I got to do this to get it on the market, right? She said, nah, fool. You thought you were going to have to spend thousands. Here's what you got to do. Gave me a list. Ended up spending hundreds. We got it on the market. She got me more money than I thought possible. She's going to price it right from the get-go. And she's going to make it as simple as possible. That's what Jennifer Carstensen and her wonderful team can do for you. They did it for me. They've done it for Reggie and everybody else that we've referred over. 901-625-5200. Let her be great for you. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, Audie Tran FM, ESPN, Norton Hurd. The fourth's going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about Peach Jam, sort of what's next. So we'll get into all that today with him at 1:25. This probably won't surprise you, but I did see the news that North Carolina sold out football tickets for his debut, for Bill Belichick's debut in Chapel Hill, which is just not, I mean, I guess I assumed that it would be a high ticket, but, sell out for North Carolina football, I don't know. But no more, man. No seats left.
In this case, credit to them, because it's not often that your third or fourth or fifth or sixth choice for the job can still create this kind of buzz. And that's what they did when they got Bill Belichick to agree to come be the coach.
Yeah.
He was not the first pick. Obviously, there were folks that weren't interested. He had to go way down the list. And look, they're still they've got a major buzz in a lot of ways because folks think this is going to be a circus. You know, getting Bill Belichick greatest ever.
It might be a circus.
What would indicate that it's not going to be with an
right.
Old girl still in control?
Well, he's reading
her bookie. Calling the plays.
The playbookie?
Yeah, she's going to be on the sideline. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
And he's going to say, don't touch or, you know, don't question this.
That's his general manager.
Now, North Carolina's tried to separate itself. Cannot.
Right. Right. No. You can't now. Well, now you're too far gone. Now you got to see what it, you know. I mean, you know, it's a little bit like, you know, the idea. It's like you just it's a lightning rod. You just benefit from that, you know? You benefit from the fact that North Carolina football is actually relevant. We'll see what the field looks like, but like for now, I mean, it's everybody's talking about it.
They've got to watch her.
Yeah.
If they turned into this like a hard knocks approach on the season, so I could see how close the young lady is to the football and whether, you know, Bill, she's really making the decision. Who wouldn't want to watch that?
Exactly.
The drama that could unfold with that. So I think they're missing an opportunity here. I really do. A reality series opportunity for Bill and the young girl.
Yeah.
The young lady.
I think the under over is like 7.5, maybe 8.5. So
they're going to show us. They're going to take over the ACC.
Who is the quarterback out there? That would matter.
Not Tom Brady.
Oh, Gio Lopez from South Alabama. I mean, he's prolific. He's certainly prolific. So, there you have it. There's some news out of North Carolina. We'll come back. Again, Norton Hurd IV going to join us at 1:25. Stick around. Jason and John, Audie Tran FM, ESPN. NFL training camps are underway. I believe pretty much everybody's going now.
It feels like.
Yeah.
I've seen pictures from just about everybody.
So that, again, we always say we're 8 days away from an NFL football game, which is amazing to say. Feels like we've kind of made it in a way. I don't want to, you know, get too high and mighty here, but feels like we're there. So a couple of things around training camp, news and notes. Russell Wilson is going to be the starter in New York.
Brian Daboll's done it. He's named his starter already.
Yeah. Now, I think that's probably touch and go. I mean, if he starts struggling, you know, there Jackson Dart is right there. Jameis Winston is right there.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's Russell Wilson's job. And, I think that was kind of expected. It would have been, upset if Jackson Dart or Jameis had won that job. But if in by week four, Russ is out there struggling and drowning. I mean, he'll pull him for one of those two. It feels like a certainty.
It's what you do with a 10-time Pro Bowler, right? You know, and knowing what you know about Russell Wilson, where he is in his career. Obviously, he doesn't represent the future, but he is the more established guy. And certainly in terms of winning, he's done more than Jameis Winston. Like, you've got two vets there, but obviously you're going to take Russell over him. And it's the proper way to go about it, to start things off. But I've had every, you know, if I'm Dable, I've had every conversation with Jackson Dart in terms of letting him know, look, very well be opportunity for you in this first season. You need to stay ready to play. In fact, when you get reps, you need to act like you are the starter. Those conversations would have been had. But I just think this is what you do when you've got a Super Bowl winner in the building. You've obviously made a short financial, just in terms of years, short financial commitment to him. It's the way to go about it, man. Nobody's offended. Everybody understands. It's just a way to have everybody falling in line from the get-go.
Right. So that's an interesting bit of news. Terry McLaurin is holding out for the Commanders. Or if the President of the United States has his way, they're going back to the old name. So we're gonna see on that, man.
Didn't he have his way with Coke?
I think he's.
We're getting that sugar cane back or whatever it is, and then no more corn syrup.
That's right. Trump never loses. I mean, that is one of the things.
He got Coke to fold up.
He did. Now he says he will not approve money for the new stadium there in D.C. unless they change the name. But anyway, we can worry about that when we have to worry about it. But Terry McLaurin is not in camp right now. He wants that contract extension. And they placed him on the reserve, did not report list on Wednesday morning. So it seems like this thing is really gonna be a protracted holdout for Terry, Scary Terry.
Yeah, and Jaden Daniels knows all the right things already to say. He's saying, listen, this is a business deal, and I can't. You know, even as a second year guy, looks like he's already learned the player speak that you say, the quarterback speak, particularly you say when
That's
the receivers
right.
are having holdouts. He said, it'd be fine. And so that'd be my only concern, really.
Right.
Let these things get worked out. It will. And Washington will be pretty good no matter what their name is.
Yeah.
And pretty good might not mean winning your division in the NFC East.
Well, what would they have to do, you know, for you to call them by their old name? You know, is there like, would they have to win the Super Bowl?
No, I'm not one of those folks that's like that. That's all. I got an old buddy that's like that. I won't cheer for him again until they go, what?
Yeah. I will say.
There's nothing.
Is it better,
man? Just keep it going. Well, she just kept it Washington Football Club. I like that better than Commanders.
Yeah.
I do think Commanders was silly.
Right. I guess it's like a nod to the Commander in Chief.
Wasn't it Washington Football Team?
Yeah,
I like
Washington
that.
Football Team.
It was different. We're just Washington Football Team.
Yeah. But it was too.
The random, the genericness of that kind of made it cool.
That's right. It kind of did. Kind of had a little swag to it.
More so than Commanders does.
Absolutely no Riz.
But I'm telling you what, Jaden Daniels got them folks feeling proud. So maybe there are more that like Commanders.
But it's so corny. It's kind of funny, right? Like the Commanders, like it's become a funny thing now. I don't know.
Wouldn't you're playing like Commander in Chief?
Right.
They've got a quarterback now that can sort of
right.
go more so than they did. They were a joke.
Right.
But now perhaps you can talk yourself into that you're a Commander.
Mm-hmm.
You're commanding things. NFC Championship game. Flash in the pan, fluke, or will this team be a contender the next few years? I tend to lean towards the latter.
Yeah.
Like Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. We were wondering about this. Travis Hunter, what's he going to be in the NFL? Is he going to play offense? Is he going to play defense? Is he going to play both? He spent his first training camp practice exclusively on offense. But by the middle of next week, the Jaguars say that he will be practicing on both sides of the ball. Liam Cohen said that the team has mapped out every moment of Travis Hunter's time during practices for the entirety of camp. But the plan includes him lining up at receiver and DB on the same day sometimes during the first six practices. If you had to guess, I don't think that this guy is going to play both sides of the ball for his career, man. I just don't see it. Nobody does that. Where's he ending up?
Probably defensive back. It just seems like where he's more elite naturally. And then you put the tools with that and the professionalism he's got and sort of honing your craft that we know he can do. All in on that one side, he can be the best corner in the league, I believe.
Right.
I don't know that he'll ever be the best receiver in the league. That's why I think if you combine with what he can do naturally, and that just the sticking to one and what will come with that, I think the better side is corner.
Yeah.
I think that's what I've told myself.
That's where you can really make the bigger impact, I think, because there's a lot of good receivers in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't a lot of good DBs.
The money's better on the receiver side. That's the case. But they've also got a receiver you'd be splitting it with. My guy, was it Brian?
Yeah, Brian Thomas.
They like him a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're not that doesn't necessarily mean you won't put up number one numbers, but just consider what he is and what you'd have to do next to him, what that's going to look like. I just think the higher ceilings for him is on the DB side.
Yep.
He could be the best DB in the league. I truly believe that. I don't think he can be the best receiver.
And then the other big story in training camp is Trey Hendrickson. He's gone.
My man went to Florida with his wife, I believe. I'm monitoring it closely, I told you.
Damn, all the way to Florida.
Like, yeah, he's not even in the area because he thinks they're that far away.
So no training camp for him, obviously.
Like you said, their big thing is they don't want to guarantee money past the first year, whatever it is. That's Cincy's thing. He says he's lowered his number just so they will do something. And he seems to be, to me, like he's drawn his line in the sand.
Right.
And that's what going to Florida sort of represents that to me.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
I mean, that's pretty.
It's not like he's in the neighborhood saying, "Hey, that you know." Hey, we're close, and I could be in camp as soon as you guys fit this one little thing. And I know you can jump on a private jet, and it could be pretty fast, but it seems pretty symbolic to me that he's saying, emblematic at least.
Right.
I've come as far as I'm going to come. So I'm watching it. I'm watching for our Bears, Commanders, teams like that. Teams with quarterbacks on rookie deals that can be a competitor. You need to be looking at this dude.
Right.
You need to be looking at this situation.
Yeah, no, I think.
You have to sign him.
Yeah, totally.
And not everybody can do that because of what you're already paying your quarterbacks.
That's right.
Not every contender can do that.
That's right. So anyway, that's the as Eric Hasseltine would once upon a time say, the NFL merry-go-round.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the big stories out of training camp. We'll come back. We'll be joined by Norton Hurd IV, talk all things Peach Jam, the summer, some hoops, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying to find ESPN.
His name is Norton Hurd IV, Team Thad Program Director and Coach, Silver Wave Media's top 100 most influential people in men's college basketball. He's a Mitchell High product. Walker Holmes Finest. You can follow him on X at Dream Big Herd and on IG at I Am Coach Herd. Brad is here. I'm here. John Martin's here. For anybody asking, we're all here, and Herd is here now. We thank him for this opportunity. Coach, how are you, man? I have to be honest with our listeners. I think I was the kiss of death for you. It was last week at this time before you were set to embark on Peach Jam pool play that I had sent you a text that said praying for you this week for favor over you and the team. Now, we got off to a great start, and we beat Bradley Beal, the eventual Peach Jam champion. That's a quality win. What happened after that?
Well, I want to say I appreciate you for that text. I hope y'all are doing all right. I appreciate Jason, it never can be.
You knew that where that came from, too, didn't you? It came from my heart. Like, you know how hard I'm pulling for you and your organization.
For sure. Yes. And outside of that, like I said, I know this show not about that, but I'm also a religious man, too. So anything that's about, you know, favor and things of that nature, that's always good. And like you say, we started, you know, I don't run from no smoke. We started off. Eventually, almost 20 piecing the people who want it, right? Yep. And so that just kind of tell you the highs and lows that were going on down there. And us knowing, you know, we potentially had the team to do it, but just couldn't get it right down there in jail like we had been jailing earlier throughout the year to get to the playoffs. It was almost reminding me, if we can look at NBA status, of like a team that was very good in the regular season or might have lost earlier in rounds than they should, or a higher seed in the tournament. It just didn't fully click like it once did when you saw us at Memphis Event Center in May and things of that nature.
Like Cleveland. They're like the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Like the Cavs.
That was your analogy, like a team that was great in the regular season and went out unceremoniously early on.
Peaked early.
Okay. I'm not fully thinking right now, but I can use it for now. And if something better come in my head, I will group text y'all or I'll get back on it next week. So, but yeah, for now, that might make sense.
Let me ask you this. Beating Bradley Beal Elite, Was that emotional for you because of how much respect you have for Bradley Beal as a man?
Hey, look, listen. Bradley Beal is not my daughter goddad, right? And so he's a guy that, one, I do think he's a good basketball player. I still think he's a good
basketball
player.
Wait, did you say he's
player.
Your daughter's godfather?
Did you say he is
no,
or
I
is
said,
not?
Oh, he's not.
He is not. Okay. So for me to be this,
okay.
No, he started
okay.
the question
but
emotional.
No, sometimes you
him.
Talk about him like he's like,
remember,
you know, family.
So when I see Bradley Beal out, which we did at Peace Jam, we always show each other respect. We don't talk often before. We're in some of the same venues. Him and Thad are cool. They were teammates last year. And I do think that he gets this credit, you know, and hopefully, you know, the Clippers will show you that this year. I still think he's a good ball player. That's all I mean. And y'all took it. I think the Grizzlies, that could have been a good pick. And some of the names y'all were naming that day, I still think he's better than them.
I want to.
That's it, John.
I would ask you, Coach, very, very seriously, like your level of disappointment this year compared to previous years, because like, and I'd factor this in, the roller coaster that it was, right? You play so well in the regular season, you get there that final session, it doesn't go well, but then you feel like you got it back on track in pool play by beating a Bradley Beal. So it was, you were seeing how capable it was. You were, mm-hmm. like you said, in terms of beating the champion. So when you add it all up and you look at previous years, is this one where you're? I mean, you were kind of saying, is this one where you're more down in previous years, more disappointed? Was this a year where, hey, we didn't come in as the favorite, so I can take this? Sort of how have you chalked it up?
I'm not, you know, I done had a few days, and you know, I came back Monday. Me and Jeffrey did a good show, so it was really good. But I'm not going to say more disappointed. I'm always, you know, want us to win, right? So it's going to be the same amount of disappointment no matter what. Not to slide off the question, though, it's not disappointment to, like, devastation, right? Because we always know that, you know, with this Peace Jam thing, only one team can win it, right? Kind of like the NCAA tournament. So it's factors that's in there, too, that we must hang our hat off. Like, and I think I told y'all this on this show, so this ain't her just saying this script today, like, Peace Jam every year is our third goal, right? Our first goal is for kids to get, you know, the most scholarships possible and get better. That's the kind of, you know, the first one and two goal. And then making Peace Jam is like making the playoffs. So that's not the number one goal, even though that's the highest. So I am disappointed now. So I can't deny that, and I must face that. But it is a lot of good that came out of the season. Like, it's so many teams that has contract disputes and stuff right now because they didn't make Peace Jam, or they haven't made Peace Jam in a while, right? So we're consistent. And the city of Memphis, you know, should, if you know the game, be proud of it almost, you know. But, you know, it's always going to be, you know, more things they put on you. But if you make Peace Jam every year or a consistent Peace Jam team, we're one of the only three people in the country. All three teams, all three of our high schools made it. So, you know, Nike is proud of stuff like that, too. Everybody on our team has gained a D1 scholarship offer and then raised their status from when they was with us, moved up in rankings. So the kids got a lot of things done. So I'm very happy for that. So how it ended, John, to answer your question, more was not pleasing to me. But it was like, I can't fully be shamed if we plan a four-quarter game or a four-quarter season and three quarters out of the four went well, you know, and that's the kind of how this season was. They still put in, because there's people that had a good fourth session, John and Jason, my bad, and still wasn't
Jason
good enough
is
to
still
make
here, yeah, there. He's here.
Yeah, I meant to be saying Jason a lot.
No, but I appreciate the sense, though. You're like, you know, John needs to hear this, you know.
Well, that's the thing. That shows you I'm losing a little sense with the coaching because I'm saying John name more. Yeah. I wasn't doing right.
Do you
last
do that before. With your players? Mix up names?
No, I know their names. I know their names.
Oh, not your favorite radio host, though. Okay. All right, you get us mixed up all the time, man.
No, so, but –
Go ahead. I hear you talking. I'm gonna throw it directly at you because you know we don't run away from the criticism.
Yes,
we run straight to it. We address it.
Yep.
And I'm gonna use another NBA comparison for you and ask you this question. But is it a deal where? And I've seen some folks send it to me to where maybe we can be Brad Stevens, right? For the folks that are saying that Norton Hurd IV should be the general manager of this thing. And Team Thad should go hire a coach and let her pick him, right? And forget and her and this craziness that you just went through with the thing up and down. You know what? You're the guy above all that now. You got a coach to deal with that. Besides, you're the guy that's with the relationships that's getting all these players anyway. Brad Stevens moved up to the front office right after trying to win the title. And look at what the Celtics did. Now, that wasn't the only reason. Brad had helped lay the foundation, all of that. But for those folks in Memphis that are saying that's what Norton Hurd IV and Team Thad should do, bump him up to the front office and bring in a coach. You told me that there's only a select few coaches that have won these things. You talked about how hard it is to do. That's not saying you ain't the guy for the job, but is there a way where the ceiling goes higher with you in the front office and someone else coaching it? That's right at you.
If it ever came to that, I definitely would look at that. But it would have to come to – so I'm going to say this. It's some great coaches in Memphis right now, right? Some great coaches that have won three states and then ain't been to the state in 10 years, right? And so you start asking that question. Some guys that used to have high majors or go to big tournaments at AAU that don't anymore. So, you know, I think I would be in agreement with Nike, Thad, and anybody who knows, you know, anything smartly about coaching to say – when it comes to summer ball, I'm arguably one of the best people in the country. So who will we find? We can't move nobody out of town. Like if we're going to consistent peace jams and all 10 guys are going, you know, high D1 major,
high. Yep.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got programs that people ain't went D1 in 5-10 years. You got people who hadn't made peace jam in 5-10 years and got the same coach. So, my thing with that is I always will look at that. I will listen, but like if we're talking about anybody locally in summer, I mean I can put my resume up against you know, anybody and we can see how that fare out. So, you know, 92.9, like you said, we hit you with facts, right? So it's a lot of people who are doing this time, but the last time I seen it, John and Jason at 92.9, although people saying John might be an idiot. They think Jason don't support this. Well, we can go look at the numbers. During lunch hour, we have the best numbers. So
yeah,
that's the same thing with this. Like
need
numbers,
a meter,
huh?
We need another meter. It'd be nice.
Yeah. Number and results is the only thing that matters. So we're going to always do what's best. It was one year where I did have a couple things going on, and I tried to send my step away. And you had top players that were recruited. Was like, if Hurd ain't coach, we not gonna do it. So it's a lot of factors, you know, that come with this thing. I mean, John is good friends with Ernie and Scott. I mean, they haven't won anything big lately. Do that mean they
first
down?
Of all, Ernie is a general manager at Murray State. He is no longer involved with Hoop City.
Exactly, starting 2 months ago. But Ernie deserves that job, and Ernie in some people's eyes hadn't won none in a while. But
that's
crazy.
That's crazy, bro. You going to now? Here's the truth. And you're right. There is a
no. I'm saying
I get what you're saying.
Let me finish my statement. With him not winning none in a while, that wasn't a discredit. Ernie is my brother, but I know how much he means to that city and this program. And also stuff he brings to that table that can be touched outside of what some eyes might see on wins. Like that's what I was saying.
I 100% agree, and I 100% understand where you're coming from. And you're right. Like, we don't hold Hoop City to the same account. We don't have Ernie on here or back when he was involved with it saying, hey, man, you know, you don't compete like you used to. Right, but here.
No, John, that's not what I was saying. He's not to cut you off, Jason. But, did you hear what I was saying, or Brad?
But
yeah,
we hold Team Thad to a higher standard because we expect more from Team Thad every single year because you're the consistency that you have had, and also the Nike brand. It's a good thing. It's a good thing that you want to be held to a higher standard You don't want people to be like, we don't care what they do. It doesn't matter.
For sure. For sure. That's true. Let me ask y'all something, Jason and John. Do y'all, just knowing, you know, history, right, like how we get on every University of Memphis coach. I don't know if we realize this, but University of Memphis have never won a national championship, right? So then we critique the coach that haven't won it. Y'all do know that since EYBL been out or any shoe company been out, no 17U in the state of Tennessee have won any shoe company circuit championship but Coach Harrison Team Fat?
No one.
Not a single one.
That's why I want to know. That's why I want to know, Coach.
Nobody have won Under Armour, the new 3SSB, or the EYBL Peace Jam in 17s since they created the leagues, I think, around 2012. No one have won it.
It's like what Penny said, you know, a few months ago. Now, again, he came back and changed it, but you know, who going to out coach you? Who? Where would the program go, you know, if you stepped away? Who in Memphis is out coaching you, Heard? That's what I'm hearing. Scott Robinson? Or who?
No.
Chris Adams? Like, where we go? Penny Hardaway tried to win a Peach Jam title. He never got it done, did he? I mean, Javante, I remember 1 year, I think, was over there. I mean,
Todd Day, we've
tried, and Todd Day was in. I mean, to your point,
and those are all great coaches.
That's literally what I'm saying. I'm saying some great coaches we've sent over there, and that's what I'm saying back to those streets. Because I want to keep it. Heard, I shot the question at you, and I'd shoot it back at the folks that are asking the question.
Yeah,
okay.
So this is a two-sided conversation. Like, there's a lot of people in this conversation.
That's where I go back to where you're at. Like, who's going to do it better? Now, you would be the guy that would be identifying, you know, trying to identify that guy, but I'd look around. Okay, what's that pro coach that's out there that's going to coach it better? I think that's your case right there. Who is that guy that's proven they could do this at a higher level? I don't know that he's there. I don't even know what that list looks like. It would have to be a short list, I would imagine, just here in the area.
And I will say this too. You do have different level coaches, right? So I'm not the guy who says I'm the best coach in the world. I think I'm a good coach. Now, we're talking about well-rounded and connected. I do feel like I'm one of the best because when you deal, Brad Stevens is a little different. You're the coach of the, you're not only just the GM or president, you're the GM or president with a major budget of the Boston Celtics to pretty much hire who you want, right? But in college and in AAU and even high school, or even down to like Luke Chris with youth sports, it depends on what you define as a coach, just to give the people a little history, right? So some people think a good coach is somebody who can do a really good job at the clipboard, right? But on our level, because you're still mentoring kids, you have to recruit, you have to have relationships.
Right. All that's part of it.
It's just so, like, the coaching on the court, Jason and John, and my audience, or our audience, or the audience that exists today, is like the easiest part, right? Like, right now, if Jason wanted to be a coach or John, and somebody said, oh, they can't coach, you can get on YouTube right now and get 100 man-to-man plays, 100 zone plays, this defense, this. But when you actually have the kids in front of you, you have to motivate them. You have to have respect. You have to deal with parents. Nowadays, you even have to deal with agents and managers. I mean, they got to be safe. Like, it ain't like NBA or college where the guys just get a per diem. No, you got to have a staff. We have to go feed the kids. We have to give them curve. You know, so it's like so much stuff that you have to do that I think the average eye don't realize, right, before you even step on the court, right? And so from that standpoint, that's just a lot. That's why I respect a lot of people in our shoes, right? Even having a Nike deal, or Ernie having a New Balance or Adidas deal, or Scott or whoever, you know, it's tens of thousands of AAU teams in every state. So the fruit that has a deal, that's almost equivalent to getting a high major offer, being the lead. It's only a few of us, 100-some in the country, that have a deal and able to keep consistency on a high level year in and year out. So, you know, it's just a lot to come with it. But with that being said, that don't have anything to do with her getting his butt kicked in Peace Jam. That still happened. We have to get better on that. And we have to do better at the Peace Jam. And the one issue I think I told, I don't know if I told Brad, Jason, John, Jeffrey, but a lot of coaches complain about that. That's not an excuse, because I have a no-excuse policy with my kids. And I really wish all my families was listening to this, because I love the questions y'all ask, because I'm not running from anything. I didn't have to get on here today. I could say it, whatever. I mean, I'm accountability. Like, continue to bring this to us because it's going to make us better, right? But I think I done told all of you guys this before, like, my teams do a really good job early on when I get them every weekend, and we don't get the kids for like 5 weeks after Memorial weekend. We get them like 2-3 days for PJ, and they go play school ball, go to all the camps, 4th of July. And so that is one thing that me and my staff, we give them 2-3 days. Sometimes it's a lot different team from you had earlier. But guess what? Everybody in the country got to do the same thing, so there's no excuses you can make. You just have to figure it out, and you have to continue to get better, and we're up for the task.
Well, it seemed like your young teams, too. We're talking about your 17s right here, but that your younger teams look built up. The ones that you've got coming up into the Braylon Williams of the world, those teams seem ready for that, right? I mean, that's who's next. Who's up next, isn't it?
Yeah. Braylon up, Dylan Jones. I mean, we got a lot of good players, but this year team had a lot of good players, right? And so, and even PJM this year, it's crazy because this is the first year ever that, like, take over and make it out of pool play, the Mocans and certain people. And it was really just up for grabs, right? And PJM showed me this year, kind of like the NCAA tournament, is really who get hot at the right time. Because it wasn't even the best teams in the Final Four this year, you know, unlike some years. You even had the Oakland Soldiers with Tyron Stokes. They didn't even make it out of pool play, right? Some of our more talented teams. So it's just about doing what you think fit best. I think my boys did a hell of a job, and I will put all blame on me, never on my kids, bring it all to her, no matter what. But I do think next year's team has to get back a little bit to the old her teams or the old team, bad teams, where it's more grit, grind defensively and toughness. I think this team was more offensively this year, and which was good, but it wasn't 100% of the culture that we used to have.
Heard. Appreciate you standing in, facing the music.
As you said, the accountability.
Accountability is very important, and that is exactly what you have today. And we look forward to continued success with you as both the program director, and here's the important part, and coach.
Our coach. Our captain
our coach
and coach.
Of Team Thad. Thank you, Herd.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He is Team Thad, program director and coach. Norton Herd, the fourth.
I don't think having the 92-9 team, him, you know,
yeah,
with him as our, I don't think that inspired him the way you thought it would. I thought it was pretty good too.
I thought it would.
We're behind you.
Yeah, I think he wants to have a talk. So
who's show me the better coach in Memphis? Who's gonna get us there? Well, who y'all bringing back?
That's right.
Y'all bringing Terry Tippett back?
It's fair.
You can't.
Yeah, it's fair. anyway, thanks to Herd for joining us on the show. We'll come back, wrap this up. Jason and John on Eternity FM, ESPN.
Yep, the Summer of 1,000 Engagements is almost over. Still going on, but it's almost over. All good things must come to an end. This is your last chance. Don't wait. Save up to 40% off all diamond jewelry and engagement rings. Any purchase of $999 or more, you get free diamond stud earrings. With any purchase of $2,499 or more, you get a free Yeti Tundra. Choose from a 3-carat diamond tennis bracelet on sale, just $9.99. Yep, you're going to get a free pair of diamond stud earrings. That's the way it works. Lots of selections. Great prices for any budget at Robert Over Jewelers.
Yep. When it comes to engagement rings, there's no better place to go, and you've got to take advantage of this sale. So if you're in the business, the market for an engagement ring, go see Howie. He's got the propose now, pay later. Several financing options, all of them. Can take up to 60 months to pay if you need. See a store for complete details. It's your last chance to save up to 40% off diamond jewelry during the Robert Irwin Jewelers Summer of 1,000 Engagements. Summer's going. It's going. Hurry on in before the sale ends. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, always at Robert Irwin Jewelers. 5 locations, 3 here locally or online at rijewelers.com.
Thanks to Norton Herd the Fourth for joining us, otherwise known as Nas. That was like his ether right there. You know, a couple people caught some strays. It's fine. It's just part of the deal. You know, I mean, I do think the truth of the matter is that when you are the Nike program in Memphis, you are just held to a high account. I mean, that's just the way it is because you have the most funding and you get the best players. And look, the Nike circuit is, I mean, that's true of all those teams that are there, right? They're going to be the best funded with the best players in their areas or not in their areas. You know, I mean, it's the Nike circuit is a beast, bro.
Yep.
Winning the Peach Jam
is a hell of an accomplishment if you were able to do it.
A hard thing to do, and Memphis area team's been trying to do it for a long time.
Yep.
We've not been able to pull it off yet. You're right, Team Thad's the one that's the Nike-sponsored outfit now, so the one that's got obviously the best shot from around here. Lately it hadn't been a ton of local guys on that. We've talked about that with Hurd. I'm hopeful. I mean, he's talked about how much the break has hurt them getting guys back together. Well, when you've got so many that are out of state, right, that becomes tougher to do, get them together. If it's a little bit more Memphis, like the hope is the future can be with Braylon Williams and guys like that coming up, maybe you have them, right, the ability to have them practicing together for a longer amount of time. Because, frankly, I think you're going to need it to win one of these. It might not matter, again, who the coach is. You can, with all due respect, pull out the greatest coaches in Memphis history. And if you don't have those guys together for long enough, you're not beating the Mocans and the Bradley Beals even. I realize they're flying a lot of guys in too a lot of times, but it's going to be those teams that have the best chemistry that go on to win this Peach Jam.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I mean, those are, it's the elite of the elite, and only a handful of teams have won it. And so things as small and as critical as, hey, having your guys together earlier and maybe for most of the year could be the difference here between, getting pushed out early and making a deep run in this thing. But shout out again to Team Thad. They'll be back.
Yeah.
But Hurd knows. As the Memphis area team on the Nike grassroots circuit, that pressure is always going to be on you.
No doubt.
And particularly, I mean, every time we've had the session here, they performed well.
Uh-huh.
Whether it's Memphis players or not, they are the Memphis-based outfit, the Memphis-based organization. We're going to hold them to a high standard.
Yeah, and that's what you want. You welcome that.
Yeah, Nike wouldn't have brought them on if they didn't think they were capable of it.
That's right.
And Hurd wouldn't be one of the 100 most influential people in men's college basketball. If folks
every single year
think that program was worthy of it.
Yeah. Silver Waves Media.
100%.
That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Norton Hurd IV for joining us on the show. Thanks, of course, to Paul Feinbaum as well, hopping on from ESPN Radio and SEC Network. It's going to do it for us today. Jeffrey and company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.